This is part three of a three-part seminar by Bob Coughlin titled Piano in Contemporary Worship, which is made available to you through Sovereign Grace Ministries. It was recorded at our Worship God 2011 conference. Bob serves as Director of Worship Development for Sovereign Grace Ministries and is a worship leader at Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Okay, now getting into the really fun stuff, chord coloring. Okay, so do you guys know the song Jesus, Lover of My Soul? No, let's do, what's that song I was playing earlier? Well, let's do a Sovereign Grace song. How about that? Jesus, Thank You. Okay, so Jesus, Thank You. We have E minor, C, G over B, D. How many people know this song? I want to do a song. How many people don't know this song? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Because it'll just help me do what I'm doing. Okay, so you've got E minor, C, G over B, D. All right, well, that's pretty simple. You've got the mystery of the cross I can't comprehend. The agonies of Calvary. Okay, that's what's there on the page. Those are the suggested chords on the page. Now, the first kind of coloring I put is just open fifths. Open fifths are really helpful because they allow you to play something that has space but still gives the harmonic structure of what you're doing. So that would be like this. The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agonies of Calvary. Now, I would never play it like that. All of these things you have to get a good feel for and then use them selectively in the right places. So let's think of another song. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Just open to it. I'm accepted. You were condemned. It's just about any song. Somebody name a song.
Come by the blood.
What is it?
Come by the blood.
Okay, boy, that's an old one. I come by the blood. I come by the cross. Your mercy flows from hands pierced for me. And I put a thank on my righteousness. Just open fifth. And over us on what Christ has done. And I come by the blood. I'm not even worried about thirds. I'm doing some bass notes, which help bring out the harmonies. But I'm just, so practice those open fifths. Just when you see, let's turn to another song. Speak of Lord, that has too many chords.
In lieu of what? You're saying open fifths, but in lieu of what?
In lieu of like a major chord. Yeah, major chord, or even a minor chord sometimes.
Play that as an example.
We did a song, Glorious and Mighty. Glorious and mighty, you're awesome in beauty. I'm playing the F2, really. But let's say an open fifth. Glorious and mighty, you're awesome in beauty. Those are all open fifths. So rather than glorious and mighty, you're awesome. It sounds really kind of okay just as a piano, but if I'm having other instruments play, it just clouds it up. And the more notes you play on the piano, the more overtones are at work, and it just gets really muddy really quick. So just be thinking, how can I use open fifths instead of a chord? So, love that came for us, humbled to a sinner's cross, broke my shame and sinfulness, rose again victorious. Just two notes, or a repeated thing. Now, if I was going to play the actual chords, it's just, it's a little fuller, chunkier.
Okay,
But I'm just playing the chords exactly as written. Yeah.
He's open fifths, but you will sing chord charts like C5, D5.
Yes. Yes. It just takes out the third. That's what it is. Yeah. And sometimes they mark it because they really want it. But I'm just saying, as a color tone, it can be really nice. Now, when you move that open fifth, so you're in the key of C, but if I play that in F with an F bass, it becomes the next chord coloring, which is add two. And two is just a really nice note in the scale. It is. It just, you can add a two to just about any chord, and it just kind of fills it up. The thing you don't want to do is add it like on top of everything else we're already playing. So, you know, I'm forgiven. See, I'm doing the 1, 2, 3 and the G. You know, that's what I call a cluster. You can play it that way. And, you know, it's nice. That's another way just to get used to playing the two. You're just playing in the inversions of it. But it's really not useful. So I don't know why you'd want to do that. Over the third, like sometimes you'll have like a C over E. Right? In your song. So there's your C over E, right? And if you just move this little C up to that D, it's just a really nice sound. Rather than a little cleaner, it's a little richer. I probably wouldn't use it there. Oh, there I use it. Yeah, I do. Yeah, see, I naturally go to a lot of twos because it just adds a little bit of color, which is what this section is on, a little bit of color to the chord. So anytime you play a note, play a chord rather, like rather than just playing this, try playing that second instead of it. And as again, as a way of practicing this, we could just do a song that we all know. Do you get, okay. Light of the world, step down to God. Open my eyes, let me see. Now it's nice to know the inversions. So if you start with a C, okay, with a C, G, C, D, then I'm going to flip it, take the G up to the top, and then take the C up to the top. So if I'm familiar with that, all those are C2s, and then I might take it up to D just to get used to it, and I might then take it up to E. That's just a great way of just becoming familiar with that chord. And then when you switch the bass note, it's again really nice. That's my favorite, the C2 over E. So you have the two chord over E. But you can use these like in just in anything. So we were doing the heavens and great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. No, it's not in there. The other thing that twos are really good for is that you can play them with different chords. So you kind of keep this repeated pattern in your right hand going while the bass changes. So I'm just playing this A2, the E, A, B. The head dreams, the saints all sing. It's a very useful chord because you're not like actually hitting the third. You're not telling them what the chord is. So it's kind of, you know, useful for doing different things. So now when it goes to the F sharp, it becomes a plus four. F sharp minor seven plus four. So you've got your A2 here. Heavens ring the same. So you've got your F sharp, your E, and your A, which makes it an F sharp minor seven chord. time you're adding that B in there, which is a really nice chord too. But that's, it all springs from the two. That's that little cluster. So I'm just talking about ways of playing it. No third, over the third. Yeah, it's just a great chord. So let me say, like, I just have to play something naturally. Like, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. So here it goes. I'm playing a two there, a cluster. Over F sharp. I'm forgiven. Right there, it's a G2. See that? G bass. And then the D, G, G, A. Because you were. Now that one, I've got the A in the bass. F sharp. Because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Maybe I'm alive and well. The Spirit is within me. Because you were. So there I broke it into an arpeggio. Two again. And then just sat on it. A2. So there's the third. Am I going too quick? Are we okay? Night and rose again. So there again. So now here's it with no twos, okay? I'm accepted because you were forsaken. It's nice. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. And sometimes I do it that way, but then other times I'll do it this way. Again, it's just tools. Nothing in this is to say you gotta play seconds. But I'm saying if you want to grow as a pianist and offer more to what the band's doing, you gotta learn some other chords. Yeah.
Will you ever play the second and third next to each other?
Yeah. And there are all kinds of variations. It's just like throwing it in there. There's the second and third together in G, A and the B. Here. Last time that. Another thing that's good, and I didn't really put this in the outline, but is just learning to divide chords between your hands. Like not think of it as my right hand's playing the chord, my left hand's playing the bass. But to play chords with two hands. So this is a C chord. You've got your C, G, C, E. But I'm playing it in two hands. Or this is a C2. So I've got my C, G, D, E. Or I can play it like this. So that's really the bass note and then the chord. But to be thinking of the chord as what both your hands are doing rather than just one or the other. Does that make sense? Because that again, that opens up whole new possibilities. If you don't have to play in a D chord like that, if you can play a D chord like that, or I'm just trying to think of... That's a G2 chord. I'm playing the B and the G and the D. Then there's A. It's right there. But like if I'm just looking at my right hand, it looks like just an open D, fifth, or third. But then I put this in there, that's a G2. So I think, oh, I want to become familiar with that chord. Okay, we'll have to start, you know, go through the circle of fifth. Okay, C, C, G, all right, G, and then what's next? Is D next? D, and then A, and then E is next, then B, and then I don't know, comes after B, something, a sharp, and then... I've never played that in that key. So anyway, that's what you do. You just get it under your fingers and just, okay, yeah, I'm going to. And that kind of stuff will help you so much as you just sit down and start to play an ordinary worship song. Things will start to come out you just never thought would come out before. Okay, this is all chord stuff. We're going too slow, I'm sure. Add four, minor and major, another sweet chord. So we need a song with minor chords. chords in it.
Okay. Behold our God.
Was it?
Behold our God.
Okay. Actually, I think they do. There's a sweetness that comes from just playing the ordinary chord too. Don't forget that. Ordinary chords are really great. They're like the solid foundation. Don't overdo this stuff or just you'll sound very flowery and you just won't sound that good. So yeah, that's what they do on that. Okay, I'm going to use another one because that's too straight. I have a shelter. You naturally form a lot of these chords just by keeping the same thing going in your right hand. So here's the A. An A in the key of D. Chord D is just the fifth. In the chord of A, it's the first. In the chord of B minor, it's the seventh. Right? In the chord of G, it's the second. So I have a shelter in the stars. Here's the fourth, add fourth. So it's this chord. It's really nice. So anytime you see a minor seven, you can add the fourth. Deep the Father's love for us. Actually, that's just a minor. How vast is beyond all measure. I added the fourth. And he will give his only son. This passed pretty quickly. To make riches as riches for the chosen. So those are some ideas. Major, I think I got to that before. That's a hymn. We're gonna have so much fun when we get to hymns. I can't wait. Okay. I love you, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice. This adding a little fourth. Second. Take joy, in fact, we were talking about seconds earlier. This is just something I tend to do. You don't have to do it. But there's your G, C. So you've got, I'm going from a second to a second to a second. This was the second and the third. This is the root in the second. Just different chords. So G2. And then you start breaking them up, and that's where the nice arpeggios come in, where you're not just doing the thing, what we were talking about, Kurt, about, you know, what notes do you play? Well, if you have those colors, those color tones in your chord, you realize, oh, I can add those. I can put those in the little fills. So, big dream. So I was just using the second and the fourth because I know those can kind of fit in the chord so I can play them along. All right, so those are the fourths, major, minor, major, major seven. What I want to say about major sevens is we typically play them like this. C major seven, here's your block chord. Song I wrote in seventh grade. It's very creative back then. I was really stuck on the major, minor, seventh. And the seventh, I guess. So, yeah, that's one way of playing it. It's just really not the best way to play it, typically. I would encourage you to... Well, you can play them clustered. So like this. It's a major seven. You've got your C, E, G, and your B. Here's your G major seven. Your B flat major seven. Your D flat major seven. Your C major seven. A major seven, all that stuff. But there's so many nice things you can do with major sevenths. So one is to spread them out like that. That's the F major 7. Take down to the minor 7. Or another thing you do when you put a third in the bass is do this. Put your cluster in the middle, your 7th and your root, and put the 3rd on the bottom and the 5th on the top. So it's this really is what you're doing. So then I'm thinking again of the whole chord is encompassing both hands, not just one. And you know, once you like we're venturing into territory now where you can just create some really nice harmonic textures. They're not gonna fit every song, and you know, a lot of songs just it's totally not appropriate for. But on some of the more softer, just more intimate stuff, major sevens like that can be helpful, just as seconds can be. And see there, I'm doing the C2 with the 3rd and the bass, with the 1st and the 3rd. Okay, so these are just ways we can do chords. And major 9, I think I talked about that earlier. You've got your D chord, and then you add your 2nd and your 9. And this. It's just a nice chord, so when would we use that, you'd say? But I'm glad you brought that up. We could use it on You're Beautiful Beyond Description. Well, that's written in there. Marvelous for me, praise of a combination. Yes, yeah, just written in. That doesn't help. Jesus, lover of my soul, all consuming fire. Doesn't work as well because the melody line goes to a G. Hear that? Jesus. Da, 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 da. So I'm trying to play a major 9 against da da da. Doesn't play. And the second time it's Jesus. Not quite. Right. It's all about you. Works there. Jesus. And all this is for you. Major 9 chord, F and the G. All is for you, for your glory and your fame. Now, make sure you understand, I'm not saying you should play all this stuff. I'm just saying these are tools that you can use to expand your chord vocabulary. Simple notes, just add them, practice them, different keys, get used to them, different inversions. Inversions is really, really helpful. A lot of us, when we're coming from, especially classical, to playing by ear, you know, this is the C chord. And maybe this. And if we're really creative, you know, we'll do an inversion. But, I mean, you know, this is a C chord. All those are C chords. I'm just playing the 2nd, the 3rds, and just different combinations. So the more you just get used to doing that, the more, again, the more vocabulary you'll have. Does that make sense? Clusters, we spent way too much time on that. Inversions, but it leads right into inversions, and the reason you want to think about inversions is for, it gives you variety in some of the stuff you're doing, and you can create different effects with them. Everybody understand what I mean by inversions? Flipping the notes, just taking the bottom and putting it on top. So you have dense versus sparse. You've got your major 7th inversion. You're just flipping it up. You can spread them out. So you've got, those are all inversions. If you want to again, grow in inversions. It's just like a broken record. Just do them in different keys. Do the scale of fifths, do them up the scale. You just get used to doing that. And don't start at that tempo. Just start whatever tempo you can do it without making a mistake. And then just move up. And again, it just opens the possibilities. One versus two hand, I don't even know what I mean there. Let's skip that point. Keep the bass player in mind. The lower your lowest note, the more you compete with the bass player. So don't switch your inversion when your bass player is playing the root. Don't go to a third. You know, because what happens is he's playing down here, and you get this low thirds are horrible. Because, I mean, especially with an acoustic piano, but even here, the lower you go, the more overtones you have, and so the more like clashes there's going to be. So you have, it just doesn't sound very nice. And so you're playing your third, and the bass player's playing the root, and it just sounds bad. So, but what you can do is up here you can use Blessed be your name in the warm with a glory. You can use whatever inversions you want up there because you're not competing with the bass player. Yeah, so you've got, that's like a root over the third. Blessed be your name. And here's a F sharp minor 7. Mark with suffering. There's a D2. So, go back to Kurt's question. What are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking that's a D2. But it's just a spread out D2. So let me do it down here. That's a D2. You got your F sharp. Well, you got your D, your F sharp, your A, and your E. Now, it could look like this, but this is nice. It's just a totally different sound. Could look like this. Same notes. Same notes. Is that same notes? Let's see. No. Okay. So this. You two. So, what are they doing? Blessed be. All inversions. This isn't. This is an inversion. Yes. Dun, dun. Doing it 1/5 and it's just a nice, just a different way of playing a chord. So inversions. All right, so keep the bass higher is better with a band. Okay, practice arpeggiated inversions or scalar inversions. I think we've already covered that. So yeah, or you could do it with one note in the left hand. Minor. Yeah, and I know this stuff seems so boring. It is. But you're doing it for a goal. You know, your goal is, I'm going to be able to like do a lot more to serve people. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to have more. You know, it's like having a limited vocabulary. It's like being able to speak 300 words. And someone said, well, you got to learn to speak other words. I mean, we never tell that to kids. They just do because they hear them all the time. Well, it doesn't quite work that way with piano. We have to put the work in to learn them. And that comes through repetition a lot of times. I hate to say that, but I'm sorry. Okay, let's talk about hymns. How many people play hymns in your church? Okay, great. That's almost everybody. I brought the Trinity hymnal here. And here's where we will have some definite participation. All right, somebody give me a hymn that you're having a problem understanding how you might play it in your church. Ooh, okay. A mighty fortress is our God. All right, I asked for whatever. Let me see where it comes. Yeah, so we'll try and hit a few things on this. There are different ways of playing hymns, and we're going to look at all of them. So this is the way it is in the hymnal. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never fails. reason I did a little grimace is because the timing on this is a little odd. So you have to decide what way you're going to go with the timing. And what we're going to do is just like we did it. Okay, so here's some different ways you can approach it. Melody-driven, and that means you're trying to stick to the melody and play the chords with the melody. So we just did what was in the hymnal. So I was just adding some more bass. I'm not playing exactly what's written there, but playing the chords. All right, now you could also change the chords. Another way to play, so play a hymn. Almighty Fortress is our... No. Almighty Fortress is our God. Oh, bulwark never fails. This is a hard one to do. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal wounds revealed. There's still a... I wouldn't do that. I've never done it. Yeah, you know, can we move to another one just a little? Because it doesn't suit this particular example. I'll come back to Mighty Fortress. But I wouldn't try altered chords on that. Let's try... Okay, and can it be? And can it be that I and there's not too much you can do. I'm just changing the chords. So the point is, you can just throw in different variations, as long as you're not playing with a group that's playing what's in the hymnal. Yeah.
What are your thoughts about using a minor chord for like something like Back to the Solid Rock? Sorry. Like When Darkness Tries to Hide His Face.
Yeah.
Or like D minor.
Absolutely. When darkness fails his love. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds. Get more positive. With equal gale. Then you come to the major and it's so nice. Na, 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 na. Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the problems with hymnals, I think. Hymns, hymnody, is that people get locked into one harmonic structure which doesn't reflect what the words are saying. Sometimes. Yeah.
You're not changing the melody.
No. I'm not changing the melody.
You're switching modes there to minor. You're going to relative minor.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought you were asking first. I thought, I wouldn't advise that. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is. Definitely a Nick Ixnay on that. Okay, so that's one. I just wanted to throw that in there that you can, you know, slightly alter the chords or do different things. All right, and this is getting back to a question that was asked earlier. Now, feel driven. I think this is what most. Oh, I think you asked it. This is what most of the time, especially for guitar players, this is what they're asking for. Can you do a hymn with a feel? Because most guitar players aren't thinking, you know, what are the notes and chords? Unless they're really good, they're just thinking, what's the strum? Which is the same thing as the feel or the groove. So one of the first things you want to do when you're looking at a hymn, if you're trying to adapt it for a modern congregation or modern treatment, is just to say, you know, can I just really simplify the chords? I mean, guitar players are always asking that. For hymns, can we just simplify the chords? And it is hard, you know, especially, Praise the Lord is a great one. I mean, there's a chord just on almost every beat. And so they're just having a hard time. So we want to help them, and let's just simplify the chords. So let's take a Mighty Fortress.
Mighty Fortress is our God, a bulwark never fails. Our helper, the arm is the flood, a mortal lives prevails.
Any guitar player can play those chords. Really.
C minor, E minor, F, G, C.
So that's one way to approach it. You could just about, there's some hymns that this doesn't work well with. Because the chord change is so tied to the melody, and it just doesn't lend itself to that. But name another hymn.
Oh, the deep.
What's that?
Oh, the deep, deep love
Jesus. Is this, oh, the deep, deep love Jesus. Okay, that's one that might be a little tied to it.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, that's the
I'm just trying to like not move so much. And I'm trying to see if there's any kind of pattern I can get in there. Because patterns help people lock in. What, you know, on a typical hymn, you're just moving all the time. You know, again, a chord on every beat. So let's give them some breaks. The other thing it does is it helps you bring a little bit of a swagger to it. You know, it's just, yeah. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Again, this is not the only way to do it. We're just talking about different ways of doing songs. Okay, another hymn. Yeah.
Christian, what do you do with your harmony singers on a hymn that can't break off from the alto part written in the hymn?
Great question.
You don't know what to do because they're not trained.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say...
They can't change.
Because they can't sing the melody, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You got a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no other solution other than to say, you know, for this verse or these two verses, don't sing. You know, practice singing the melody. Is it because it's too high or they're just not used to doing
like
it?
Like the altos that are too high that aren't necessarily trained.
Yeah.
They can't pick up the harmony by ear and just make their own.
Right, right.
Some can, but some can't.
Right. It struck me a few years ago when I was studying just the evolution of music in the church, just how, you know, for years, hundreds of years, the church just sang unison. And there was a time when they started getting more into parts and then certain intervals were outlawed because they're demonic. And, you know, there's just always been these discussions about what's appropriate. But I think it's indicative that, you know, Ephesians talks about making melody in your heart to the Lord, making melody to your heart to the Lord. There is something about people singing a melody that is powerful. And we don't have to sing in parts. I love singing in parts, but we don't have to. It's not like God has said, that's the only kind of music I like. So I think we need both. I think it's great to do both. So I'd say either don't sing, I'd encourage them to practice the melody, and if, you know, they just can't do anything but, then probably, you know, wouldn't try and force it. I'd probably stick to the harmonies. So that's one of the things we talked about for Together for the Gospel. This last year, 2009, Mark Dever, who I work with in determining the music, wanted me to stick more to the hymn arrangements. Now, you know, it's almost 7,000, mostly guys, so they're not really singing a lot of parts. He wanted to leave room for the parts. So I did. I tried to sing, you know, do more of the harmony parts that are written in the hymnal. You know, I think it was fine. I think it was fine, but I think what I did in 2008, so that was 10, 8, which we recorded and made an album of, where I'm doing more stuff around the melody to kind of support it. How sweet and awful is the place with Christ. While everlasting love is the choicest of her stones. It would just enable me to think more about what are we actually singing about? And let's feel that, not only think it, but feel what we're thinking. So I enjoy that, doing kind of the extra stuff that makes, but you can only do a melody with it. I mean, I realize that. And if I'm in a church where they're really singing hymn parts, you know, I'll play less. Let them sing the parts. Go for it. You know, how many of you are in a church like that where most of the time you sing hymn parts? Okay, yeah. It's different, and you've got to, if you're gonna do this, what I'm talking about, you can't do it as long as everybody's singing parts. So part of that comes through just doing songs that aren't hymns. Well, say like a go to see the dawn of the darkest day, or doing songs that aren't written in hymn parts. Maybe like a Before the Throne. For the throne. Do you do any songs without parts? Yeah, okay, you do some. Yeah, so just trying to slip it in there that way. Yeah.
Let's say your congregation, part of what serves your congregation is to have also part singing. Are there ways to vary your accompaniment with the standard chordal structure? Like, could you demonstrate some ideas of how you might not just always play the four parts, but still allow for part singing?
Yes, yeah. Well, that's where the open fifth is a beautiful tool. So you've got, and can it be that I should give, just open fifth, an interest in my Savior's love. I'm thinking more spacious, place the chords every two beats rather than every one. Or praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Strong feel. What you need to watch out is for the bass. So if you got, you got your bass moving around. So I might just let it ring. Kind of like bells. So for that one, amazing grace, how and fills the sound. A wretch like me, I want. So fills, single bass, stuff in the high part. You still had to do some of that T4G. And it was a challenge, but I enjoyed it, kind of. Sorry, Ferris, Lord Jesus? Like, do what to it?
Make it usable and contemporary.
Sorry, one more time?
Make it usable and contemporary.
Oh, okay. Okay, so if we're going with the feel-driven idea, because here's how you do it with the hymnal. You would just take it as this, right here. First thing I do is change the key because it's an E flat. This isn't really feel driven, but it's what a beautiful hymn. And let me say this: there is real beauty in hearing four-part harmony sing a hymn like that. And, you know, churches that have never experienced that. I mean, Covenant Life, we don't sing in parts. And, you know, I wish we would at times. We're trying to kind of build it in through the small choir, and, you know, they'll sing parts. And so people are slowly getting it. But we grew up in just singing melodies all the time. Okay, so if you're going to do a little more contemporary, first thing I'd think of would be a feel. So I'm be thinking, I'm providing fear. Feel I'm thinking. not moving the chords a lot. Why don't you come up here and try it? You want to?
I think you've made the point.
Okay. All right.
The song doesn't change. I don't think you would change that song very much as well.
No, you don't have to change it.
What would change even the left hand very much?
Yeah, it's what it often is simplifying your chord movement and adding a rhythmic pulse. That's what it often is. And that's all I did for that. And it's a beautiful melody. This kind of follows chord. You could do. Again, it's that rhythm, that little rhythmic feel. You can almost hear shaking going, which you don't have typically when it's done as a hymn, sung four part. So the rhythmic pulse, simplify chords, alter chords, repeating patterns. So, somebody give me another hymn.
Crown Hymn.
What is it?
Crown Hymn.
No, thank you. That's good. I appreciate that. That's the repeated pattern. Is that da 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 da. Then you come back to the. So that provides your kind of foundation that pulls everything to a center. It says, yes, we can sing this, and we can sing it with passion. We can sing it with a little bit of a drive, which, you know, that song is worth singing. It's jubilant. It can also be majestic. And that's, you just want to be able to do both. Yeah.
Bob, so many of the things that you're saying are, and the choices you're making are informed primarily by your ear. And I'm wondering what you would recommend for a player to develop your ear.
John Martin leads Enfield, who's going to be leading tomorrow night, and is really brilliant at doing this stuff. He should really be up here doing this. That's a great question, John. That's why I like to have people come up and do stuff, because I can say, well, try this. A lot of the stuff I've been saying throughout has been leading up to this. Like, I'm not explaining a lot of what I'm doing, but I'm doing the stuff that we talked about earlier. I'm playing, like, spaces, you know. Here's a second chord, sharp four, and I'm keeping that thing the same. So I'm changing the bass note, but it provides a cohesiveness to it. So the things, I mean, I don't think you need to have my ear, because I like what guys do or girls do differently when it's informed by what they've listened to. And that's probably the biggest thing. How I play is informed by what I've listened to, which I then sought to apply to my playing.
For those that may be coming from a classical background, though, is there a method or a particular thing that you would suggest studying? I mean, would you suggest getting into contemporary jazz theory, that thing, something to stretch your ear and stretch you out from a theory standpoint? Is that something you would encourage people to get into?
That's one of the things I'm trying to do here, is give you tools which if you apply these tools, you will play differently. The reason I hesitated on contemporary jazz is because you really get into, you know, which you really don't use much. I'm thinking that's probably not going to work in most churches. So you get a lot of stuff that you don't really need. The idea of every chord has a feel and a texture and produces some kind of, you know, response, that's really good. But I'm just developing, you know, keeping us to the seconds, the fourths, the sevenths, the ninths, and just saying, hey, if we just like get those, and the principle of the inversions and repetition is really, I think, a key. Because classical music isn't designed around repetition, but the worship in the church and song is not about just classical music. It's about what moves people's hearts. And I don't think God expects everyone in the church to be musically trained, at least, you know, at an academic level. We can do what we can to encourage people to sing well, but as far as, you know, everybody having to have musical gifts, I think the Bible speaks against that. We don't all have the same gifts. Praise God. So we want to do what will affect people, and popular music gives us a hint into that. So does folk music, which is maybe even a more reliable indicator as to what moves people's hearts. So I think it's one of the reasons why a song like In Christ Alone is so popular to so many people. In Christ Alone, my hope is found. Stay. Okay. My strength, my song. It's a pentatonic melody. Here's the only seventh that happens. Then the first line, which is the second line as well, is repeated. It's amazing. It's so simple, but so powerful. That's a folk tune. And, you know, Keith Getty talks about how he tries to, you know, draw from folk music of Ireland for some of the stuff they're doing. So having said all that, I think repetition can really help us when we come to hymns. So you take a hymn. Let's take another one. What's that? Okay, good. This is my Father's will. Do, do, do. Now, this gets back to John's question, which is, like, how did you decide just to play that? I have no idea. It just comes out of what's in there. And so we could do another one. This is going to be harder. This is my Father. It's just playing things you like, playing things that move you. But see, that's only, it's only two bars long, that theme. It's a melodic theme and a harmonic, the rhythmic theme. And that's what I'm trying to capture. Not so much the harmonies, because those will change, but the melodic repetition and the rhythmic repetition helps bring people in. So, yeah, there was a question over here.
Oh. I was just going to say, I've been playing the piano leading worship for, it seems like, a lot of years, like 15 or 20 years, and I'm so tired of the style that I do often. Mm-hmm. You've been playing longer than me, obviously, in a worship context. So some of the suggestions that you've made for us about chords and color chords, have they changed from what you would have done in your glad days? And
whoa, it's going really far. That hurts.
Really, are they consistent things that you would have done then? Are you still playing the same way?
Here, that's a great question. I think I'm playing less. Yeah.
But are you playing the same types of things? Are you doing seconds? Are you doing...
Yes. Yes, because I was strongly impacted by Appalachian Spring in my high school years.
So you think there's something kind of consistent about some of these music?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and I think as I listen, I mean, okay, here are the musicians that I would have a strong affinity towards. David Foster, who did an album called Symphony Sessions. It just moves me. I mean, that's back in the 80s, I think, or somewhere. He also did this. The Olympic theme. So with all that clustery kind of stuff, I just love that stuff. And then Dave Grusin would be another one. He did an album called Cinemagic, which just is a bunch of movie themes that he's done. He did... Grusin. You may know this. Is it? Theme from On Golden Pond. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So it's that kind of stuff. I would listen to it and I'd try and play it. And so that just starts to form your thing. Now, I could have gone another direction entirely. That would be jazz. There's a girl I went to college with, Evelyn Simpson, who I would just want to just sit and listen to because she just could play chords. I didn't even know they existed. But they just seem to flow out of her. I can't do it, but you know, and it would just flow. But I didn't follow that path, which I'm kind of glad, because this is much more helpful, much more useful, the stuff I did. So that's getting back to John's question. And Steely Dan was a popular group that affected my thinking about how chords should sound. One of the things I think is a general principle is just learning to put space in songs. Any good musician, I mean, whether you're country or except for maybe metal or rap at times, you know, there's space. Space is important. And it's like space in the chords, space in between what you play. It really, if you just listen more, you will become a better pianist. No question. And so pick some people to listen to and then try and figure out what they're doing. Little riffs. I think my riffs have changed in that I don't play as often as I used to, and I do a lot more octaves. I just do, you know, because you're great. Let's see. Because you're great. Can imagine you are too beautiful for us to fathom. Oh, you are great and great to be praised. Which is, I'm really doing three there because it speaks, it's clear, it doesn't mess things up. It's just, you know, that's with a band more. And those are on hard driving things. Does that answer your question? No, the melody, serve the melody. Okay, serve the lyrics. Whenever you do into a hymn, whatever you do with a hymn, you want to serve what's being sung. And that's where you need to keep your thoughts, what's being sung. I knew your time was getting away from me. Okay, introductions. Confidence is crucial. Crucial, you're setting up the tempo, the key, the starting note, and when to start singing. So you don't want to be doing for You Are My King. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. You know, you want to, if you're not leading, or even if you are leading, you want to let them know this is where we're at. So usually the key is not a problem. It's usually the tempo and like, when am I actually coming in? So, you know, there are a number of ways you can communicate that. Well, the easiest way, just do a pattern that repeats. People asked about, we'll have to do some more of this. I can't believe the time is so late. People asked about, you know, how would you figure out an introduction? Here's some ideas. The last line of the chorus. Playing that, a turn that you might use. I follow you. So that's just the turn. You just bring it back. A repeated chord pattern or single something, record repeated chord pattern. So that would be like this. You're introducing this to Jesus. Thank you again. Just the 1-4-1. So, yeah, repeated chord pattern, a 1-4. That could lead into something. A chord progression not found in the song. So on some of the songs we'll do on Friday night, we've done like just a different introduction, you know, chord pattern not used in the song. So you might want to do, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. And then when you come back to all you hear, join him in glad adoration. You want to use it again. And again, I'm using a lot of the principles that I talked about, spacing my notes out. Second, fifth. A little melody to drive it. That's what kind of makes it all hold together. Okay, transitions, not always needed. This is from one song to another. You can use a chord progression from a previous to the next song. Okay, give me two songs. Someone over here, give me one song.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood. Which one?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Okay. Matt Rebens or the hymn? Either one. Nothing but the blood can wash away my sin. Okay, someone give me another song. Come the fount. Great, okay. Okay, we'll flip them. We'll go from Come Thou Fount to Nothing But the Blood, and we'll do because it's coming to my mind now, Matt Rebens' version, which is
What can wash away us?
Is that okay? Okay, so we've got D to A, that's where we're going. So we're looking for transition, chord progression from previous to next song, in tempo versus ad lib, in tempo. Okay, so.
Why
did
you flip it?
Because lyrically, great question. Lyrically, Come Thou Fount, where you're talking about, Lord, I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seems best to be followed by the song of assurance, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus Can Cover My Sin. So yes, it's where I'm at. Rather than I'm in assurance and then I'm saying, you know, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart, say the reason, tune my heart, sing thy praise. Well, wait, I just was singing. And, oh, I guess that didn't count because now I'm asking the Lord to tune my heart, which is actually what we're going to do tonight, I think. We're starting with a song and then we're doing Come Thou Fount. So, but I'll explain all that tonight. So, yeah, I'd probably, number four had the prolonged crash and can encourage spillover from the previous song. Let me do that before I complete this example. I think a lot of times there is an exuberance, a desire to sing more, to say more, to shout more, to do something more, which as musicians we can encourage or support or just like totally avoid. And a lot of places just totally avoid. And I don't know what kind of church you're at, but I play in different contexts, and in some places it's not, they're not thinking they're going to do anything after the song. And don't you dare try to get us to do anything. So I played this place in Wales, actually, last November, New Word Alive, and that was one of those places where when the song ended, everything ended. Just no response, nothing. So, you know, it was, until he returns, or calls me home, here in the God of Christ, I stand. And I'm thinking, come on. Come on, like when you go to like a rugby match and like your team scores, do you go, yes, they scored. I'm so grateful. You know, so we've just rehearsed, and I shared that with them. One night, because it was a series, it was a whole week long thing, I shared it with them one night, and they got it. They said, you know, it's like there's stuff in our hearts sometimes that wants to spill over. So that's where the two chord can come in really handy. So here in the I stand. And what I'm doing is taking the two chord in the right hand and alternating with the D in the left hand. And you can do that really like bombastically, or just kind of softly. Like arpeggiate it maybe. Just it can provide a little bit of it's okay to keep loving Jesus after the song. It's you know, whether that be an applause or just, you know, we love you, Lord, or, you know, again, I don't know your church, and this you may be thinking, never in a million years. But if you're at that place where, yeah, I feel that's like people want to do that, but we can't seem to help them, well, that's one of the ways to help them. Okay, so we come back to Come Thou Fount, which I would just stop and end. Well, actually, I don't even need to do that because I'm in the four, but you could do that. What can wash away my sin? So what I did was go immediately into the tempo of the new song at the end of it. And D is common to A and D, of course, because it's the root chord. It's the four chord in A, so you could go to the E. So, yeah, I kind of like hanging on the D, I think. It's just, it's almost too obvious. That's where I'm bringing in. Who can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Now, if you're playing a ballad, sometimes prolonging. This would be a great example. Wash away my sin. Jesus, thank it in tempo after the song ends. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Versus, Jesus, thank you. People are going to start listening at that point. They're not going to want to sing. They're just hearing you do something. Which is okay if you want them to listen or if someone's going to say something. But just giving you options. There are sometimes when you can, people want to sing more. And so let them sing more. Okay, playing behind someone speaking. Can we move on? I probably didn't cover transitions enough. Let me say one thing about transitions. I say behind someone speaking. Okay, focus on what the speaker is saying. Most importantly, just think about what the... First, let me say this. You don't have to play behind someone speaking. There's this, at least the background I come from, you know, if you stop the music, the Holy Spirit would just leave. And we don't believe that. You shouldn't either. But music can tie things together in a way that, okay, yeah, I'm aware of what we just sang, what we just did, and it's informing what we're doing now, this prayer or this what this person's saying. Okay, so if you're playing behind someone speaking, think about what that person's saying. That's the biggest thing. Just listen to what they're saying. That means you might have to play less. You know, oh, Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives today that you have brought us here to enjoy your presence, to enjoy your authority, to enjoy your rule in our lives. And God, we thank you that you are here by your Spirit to teach us, to show us how good you are and how kind you are. See, if I'm listening to someone singing that, what I'm doing is going to kind of respond to that rather than just be totally oblivious and just do my own music thing. So listen to the speaker. Allow space for their words, typically. Sometimes you'll have a pattern that's not so, you know, it's not so much leaving space. But even there, you can leave a little space. But it's just kind of a soft pad, soft bed, soft texture. But if you're doing something that's more ad lib, and I think I get into this somewhere. Oh, class. Oh, good. Okay. I'll get into it in a second. It can sometimes be less. Use music to support, not supplant the words being said. It can sometimes be less distracting to move to the tempo and key of the next song while someone's speaking rather than when they finish. So what will happen sometimes is, say we're going from, Jesus, thank you. Well, I just want to take some time to pray for whoever and people we're going to pray for. And then, okay, now we're done, and now we're going to do the next song. So you know, it just kind of comes in. And that wasn't too dramatic because it's in the same key, but sometimes it's just like, you know, and then we're shifting gears and then we go on to the next thing. If you can do that while the person's speaking or quickly, then you're ready to go. So you've got Jesus. So Father, we want to thank you. We're going to pray for these people. Amen. I thank you, Lord. It just, you know, brings it in, and there's no one has to think, oh, we're starting the song now, because you've been playing the introduction for, you know, the entire time they've been speaking, and people aren't even aware of it. So that's one thing music does. It prepares people's hearts. It moves them emotionally. They're not sure, you know, they're listening to what the person's saying. Music's affecting them as well, hopefully in line with what's being shared. And then when the time comes to sing again, they're ready. Ready to go. So I had a couple ways you could do this. Make sure your volume isn't overpowering, especially in a smaller church where you're not, any church, never doesn't matter, small or big. Repeated versus ad lib. I will often do kind of a pattern. There's an open fifth. I would probably even repeat that. The melody. But no one should be listening to the melody. They should be listening to what's being said. So I just want to do something simple, restrained, would tend to do something repetitive, not just wandering all over. Because what happens is you get bored and you just want to think of new things to do. And you know, eventually you cross the line and you're doing something that everybody's going, what are they doing? why are they doing that? Okay, melodic versus chordal. A melody often can affect the heart in ways that just plain chords doesn't. I mean, chords are totally fine. But if you could add something just like, it just brings a different, I don't know, different texture, different something to focus on. There's a little bit of specificity to it. You can do either. Song versus non-song. I'd say almost every time do a non-song rather than a song. Unless you want people trying to listen to the words of the song you're playing while they're also listening to the person speaking. Just had so many people come up and say, why do they do that? I can't concentrate. So yeah, just in general, unless you really want people to think about the words of the song you're playing, just play something that sets up that song. So if you want to do Before the Throne of God Above, rather than everybody, oh, they're playing for the throne. Oh, what was that chord? What did they do that for? Where are they going? Yeah, and they're not even listening to anything that's going on. So just keep it simple. Chord options, and I gave you some here just for playing behind someone speaking, you know, D, G, D, G. And these are all pretty much for a bar every two beats. And this one, E minor, A, G. Well, I'm just realizing we could do this, like we could have a whole week of this stuff going on. So you got those there. Modulations. How many are concerned about modulations? No, 10 of you. Okay. All right. Well, here's what I would do for going through a whole step. You go into C to D. So you go to C, E minor, A sus, A. What you want to get into is the 4/5 of the new key. So whatever key you're going to, actually. So if I'm going from C to F, I got, you see, the 4/5 would be B flat. B flat, C, F. Well, that's really easy if I'm C. And it really works for anything, although some can be rather awkward. So if you're going to A flat, so you want to think of some options if that's not going to work. I tried for a long time to think of a half-step modulation that was really helpful. I couldn't. It's hard to do it without like making it obvious. So we don't do many half-step modulations. Play a melodic pattern in the old key, then the new key. So we will do it's another way, just just go right from one key to the other. That's a totally acceptable way to do modulations. And a chord modulation is just like going to the new key right away without any transition at all. Okay, I realize like I have not really engaged you guys as much as I needed to. So, are there any questions? Yep.
Earlier when you were talking about, you know, learning how to play things by ear, that made me think, is it important to learn to play a melody by ear rather than using a lead sheet?
I think it will help you immensely if you are trying to play from charts. No question. Yeah, that'd be big take home, is learn to play the melody by ear. It teaches you intervals. It teaches you what chords you should be playing. Yes. Yeah.
Are you concerned at all about adding color tones when none of the other musicians, including the vocals or harmonizing, are throwing it in at all?
Yes.
Adding.
Yes. Up high, they work a lot better. Yeah, so don't necessarily, I'm thinking when you're doing a solo, when you're the main instrument, when you can play up high to color what other people are doing, or sometimes they really work with what guys are doing, with other people are doing. That's the nice thing about the seconds is they don't clash. They just add texture. It's good. Yeah. Oh, there's no question. Oh, yeah.
Would you recommend landing on the tonic when you're playing behind someone speaking and they say amen? Because that really bugs me when they don't resolve it.
Oh, end on the tonic? I prefer that myself. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'll just say that. Yeah.
When someone is speaking and you think it's going to be short, so you start playing, but then it turns out that it's going to be really long and it might be distracting that you're playing,
yeah.
Can you stop or do you have to keep going because you're playing?
These are great questions. Yeah, yeah. I generally don't stop. I try and come up with a pattern that I'll enjoy playing for 5 minutes. I do. And there is a little bit of a challenge in trying to come up with something that you like. And, you know, one of the things about this is just learning to love the music that God's given us as a gift for His glory. He loves it when we enjoy His gifts for His glory. Yeah.
Does the key matter to you besides singability and playability? Are there other things about a key that says, look, we need to do it in this key versus another key that might be vocally easier?
Well, that would be singability, if things are vocally easier. I think there are differences, like in black keys and you know the white keys. Black keys tend to be, like E flat's just a really nice key. Except when you're singing up here, ladies don't usually like it. They'd rather you do it in C, because that's the high note, not the E flat. Although we do have some songs on the new album that hit a lot of E's, and I'm sorry, I'll say it now. I think it's a combination of what your musicians can handle, what's comfortable to sing. Those would be the two factors I'd use. Oh, I wish we could do this all day.
You've been listening to a seminar which was given at our Worship God 2011 conference. It has been made available to you through Sovereign Grace Ministries. Sovereign Grace is primarily devoted to planting and caring for churches. We also hold conferences, train leaders, and publish books, music, and audio and video messages. For more information, visit www.sovereigngraceministries.org or call us at 301-330-7400.